Hey guys, it's Monday, which means it's podcast day on the Day by Day show. And this month, starting out the new year, I got one of my best friends in the whole wide world, Jason Goodwin, is with us today. He's going to be with us all month long. And so, Jason, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Cliff. Good to be with you.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So, Jason, tell us where you are and tell us what you're doing before we actually dive into kind of the things that we want to discuss.
Okay. So I am the director of the Association of Baptist Students at Louisiana Tech.
Okay.
The Association of Baptist Students is a BMA-supported college ministry that is on a few college campuses.
Right.
I have the pleasure of directing the one there at Louisiana Tech in Ruston, Louisiana.
Okay.
And also, we're church planting there in Ruston.
Okay.
Ruston does not have a BMA church. The last time there was a BMA church in Ruston, it shut its doors in 1984.
Wow.
And so that's been something that the state of Louisiana has been concerned about for quite some time, especially with an ABS work there.
Right.
And so we were tasked and sent out by First Baptist Church of Magnolia to plant a church while also leading the college ministry there on the campus of Louisiana Tech.
All right. So college ministry we want to talk about, but we kind of want to segue into this. So several months ago, there was a pretty significant cultural moment with the assassination of Charlie Kirk.
Right.
Right. And that kind of sent shockwaves politically, culturally, all the things.
Right.
What was your initial reaction to that, and what did you kind of feel as, I guess, school was just kind of getting going at that time?
Yeah.
So what was the vibe there?
It was, especially for Tech. You know, Tech's a little bit different. It's on the quarter system, so they don't start classes till like the 1st of September. But so things were just starting to get rolling.
Yeah.
But it was one of those moments, too, where as a father of older kids who were on social media, who were aware of Charlie Kirk,
yep.
As a conservative guy who admired a lot of what Charlie was trying to do on college campuses, engaging students, it was a moment where it was like, wow, this is pretty serious.
Yeah.
You know, not just the fact that we saw someone murdered on the internet, but it was the fact that someone who, for the most part, shares the same worldview that I do, the same philosophy that I do, to see him be treated and his death be kind of mocked to the way that it was by some.
Yeah.
It was one of those kind of eye-opening moments.
Yeah. I found myself wondering, you know, just initially when it all happened, why do I feel so, I couldn't even describe the feelings I was having, but they were deep.
Yeah.
And I was trying to talk to Christy and, you know, of course we were talking about it and there was a little bit of comfort is not the word, but like, okay, I'm not the only one feeling this.
Yeah.
And the response that we saw throughout the culture kind of validated, no, this was a huge deal. Mm-hmm. And then the after effects of that were playing out is really kind of what we want to talk about, okay? So one of the things that we saw, there were different studies coming out around that time and since then that young men were going back to church. And there was this great call from like TPUSA and just a bunch of people, like the funeral memorial service was wow. And there was this call, whatever you do, get back into church.
Right.
Get back to church, you know, and so there's been this kind of mass flood of young men coming back to church and young ladies, but I think the majority of it has been young men getting back to church. Have you guys felt any of that?
No, that's well, and it's interesting. You know, Tech is a very conservative campus.
Right.
It's an engineering and math school.
Okay.
So you got a lot of really smart, really sharp guys and girls on the campus there. And since I've been in the ministry, and just over a year now that I've been taking over the ABS from the previous director who was there for 40 years, but it's really been a male-dominated ministry that I've seen and that we've experienced so far. And so you can tell with young men, there is definitely this pull to things of God, to of a spiritual nature.
Yeah.
They seem to be the ones who are asking big questions and wanting big answers. And really, they're the ones more often than not that what we're seeing are the ones who are ready to to settle down,
mm-hmm.
To find a spouse,
right.
to start a family, to do all these types of things. And so, I would very much say that what I have seen is consistent with what everything's
right.
going on right now.
Yeah, and all those trends are kind of to the reverse of what we would normally think or see, that the men would be the ones, let me go take advantage of this singleness and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And the ladies are the ones looking for the mate, looking for the husband. But it's kind of reverse now.
No, it is. I had a young couple that came into our Tuesday night meeting mm-hmm. just recently. And
is this for the ABS?
For the ABS, okay. Yeah. And so we were talking about just getting to know them. They were new. And so, but then you could tell they boyfriend, girlfriend,
right.
the way they were acting, everything else. And so I asked her, I said, so what y'all's plan? What's going on here? And she said, oh, well, you know, I'm not looking for anything until I have my degree. And mm-hmm. and so it's kind of funny, you know, the look on the guy's face was like, oh, we're waiting that long. I mean, they were freshmen. And so but it really is. It's kind of, that's real similar. I had a guy last year who graduated who had started a relationship, and he was really nervous about how far to push.
Right.
Because he was saying, hey, I've got a job. I'm ready to settle down. But it didn't seem, that view wasn't being reciprocated by his girlfriend. And so it is kind of a weird thing to see what we would consider to be a shift, especially going to CBC and what our own experiences were, where it really is that the young men seem to be very serious about settling down, wanting to start family, all those types of things. And yet the young women don't seem to be as ready for that or as eager as you would typically expect.
Yeah. It's a very strange cultural moment that we're in right now. So one of the things, like we said, is that these young men, and the call has been to get back to church,
mm-hmm.
go back to church. And you and I would say amen, yes to that. But
yeah,
like not just any church,
right?
And so if there are young men out there that are listening to this and they are like, yes, I want to get back to church, what are some things that we need to be looking for? We need to be saying to these young men, yes, get back to church, but make sure of these certain characteristics of a church. What would be the first thing that you would say there?
The first thing I'm going to say is, let's make sure that it's a word-centered church.
Okay.
And by that, we mean a church that is focused on teaching, preaching, believing, and practicing the Bible.
Okay.
That's what we want to see in churches as far as we're evaluating churches, and we're wanting to point young men, young ladies to what we believe are healthy, vibrant churches.
Yeah.
One of those main characteristics is going to be that they really believe the Bible, that they love the Bible, that their worship services are saturated with the Bible, and that when you hear the preacher speak, he's speaking the words of the Bible.
Yeah.
I think that to me, especially in this age where we've seen a very anti-authoritarian disposition among some, and there seems to be a change in that,
right,
for good and for not,
mm-hmm,
right,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But that as Christians, we are a word-centered people. We are people of the Word.
Yeah.
We are brought about by the Word, and that we want to make sure that the churches that we're attending, the churches that we're a part of, really value the Bible.
So just about any church that a person is going to go to,
mm-hmm.
they're gonna sing songs. They're probably going to pray, and
mm-hmm.
then the pastor or somebody is going to get up there, and they're going to open up the Bible.
Sure, yeah,
and they're gonna say they're preaching the Bible. So if a young guy is going into that situation and he sees that, he might say, okay, you know, Jason Goodwin told me to look for a word-centered church, and this guy he opened up the Bible.
Yeah,
and they've got Bibles in, you know, available
in their pews,
in their pews and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that's a word-centered church.
I totally agree. I think one of the things that you have to notice is, okay, how much attention is given to the Word,
mm-hmm.
and not just in the Word preached,
right?
But just the Word in general in the service. I've been to services before. You've been to services before, where the only time the Scripture is even mm-hmm. read from
mm-hmm.
is when the pastor gets up to preach, and maybe it's a verse. Maybe it's two, maybe it's a paragraph.
Right.
But
right.
But that's the only even mentioning of the Scripture.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's very good. I don't think that's a healthy a healthy practice for churches. And if you're evaluating how word-centered a church is, I think you want to pay attention to something like that. Like, how much is the word being read,
right,
just in the service,
yeah,
to kind of point everything they're doing to the authority of the scripture?
And I think that's the important word. You know, you'd mentioned authority, mm-hmm, earlier, and I think that's what is being spoken by the way a service is constructed is what's important.
Yeah.
And if the word is being only talked about in this one little section, I mean, do you think, well, let me ask the question, what danger do we run?
Oh.
If there is not saturation of the, yeah, word.
Well, I mean, it's the clear danger of pragmatism,
yeah,
which is, I mean, and let's own it, right? Pragmatism is the true American philosophy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been said historically that it was the philosophy that was born in America, came to maturity in America,
yeah,
and
yeah,
it's so much of what we,
right,
do and everything else. So I don't blame churches or people for being pragmatic.
Right.
It's almost a natural,
yeah,
American disposition. However, in the church, it can become really dangerous,
yeah,
because we can kind of adopt this mentality of, well, if it works, then what's wrong with it?
Yeah.
And if it attracts, then what's wrong with it?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that we think are quote unquote working that I think have proven themselves to not really be working.
Well, and it's even kind of counterproductive to what young men are actually looking for.
100%.
Right?
Yeah, I totally agree.
It's like they're coming out of a worldview, a secular worldview that has been very much pragmatic.
Yes.
And then they come in, and it's just a Christianized version of that to,
exactly,
some degree. It's a Christianized version of practical atheism, and,
yeah,
the Bible is just, yeah, just a means to the end, instead of it being the end itself.
Right, right, or at least the God of that Bible being the end of what,
yeah,
everything is, and this is how we come to know Him. This,
yeah,
is how we see His transcendency,
yes,
and His beauty and His goodness and all these types of things. Is that they have to be seen through the Word, because this is how we're made alive.
Yeah, yeah.
That. When we're given the Word of God, that it's not just that which is on the pages of our Scripture, but it's the Word that came flesh,
yeah,
and that dwelt among us as the only begotten Son of God. And so when we pay little attention to the Word, we're paying little attention to Christ.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the big key, because who is the only one that can take us to the Father?
Right.
It's the Son.
Yeah.
It's the one who put on human flesh,
yeah,
and dwelt among us. And so we have to give attention to the Word, because it is by the Word that we are created.
Yeah.
It is by the Word that we are born again.
Yeah.
It is by the Word that we are being sanctified. And so when we abandon the Word for anything else, for pragmatism, for ease,
mm-hmm,
for comfortability,
right,
you are once again returning to a worldview or mindset that these men and women are wanting to flee from. They're wanting something of substance.
Right.
They're wanting something of significance and importance. And this is where we're here as Christians to say, yeah, we have that.
Yeah.
And it's right here in the sacred scriptures.
Yeah. So do you think, okay, so maybe a word to pastors and to these young men who are coming is, or because I know a pastor that may be listening to this, pastors that might be listening to this, and they're thinking, man, but that might be off-putting. Like if it's just, you know, reading scripture here and that we are regulated by scripture on how we construct services,
mm-hmm,
it might be off. It wouldn't be attractive. But to the young man coming in, they need to recognize, or do you think that there should be a little bit of uncomfortableness in what they're seeing and experiencing within the church?
No, I totally do. I think... I mean, we're to be countercultural, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we are, when the church gathers, we are the embassy of the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and people should know by everything that we do that this is different.
Yeah.
you know, not just that we're, you know, we're singing people. That's different,
right? Yeah, I mean, yeah, it really is.
It's a different type of thing. I mean, we're a singing people. And so we should make sure that the songs we're singing are word-centered songs.
Yes.
You know, they're clearly there coming from the scriptures. It's not a hard line of reference.
I don't
reference
have to spend
one...
a long time explaining why we're singing
exactly.
this song. Yeah.
And then we should the prayers that are being prayed.
Yeah.
Are important to echo the prayers that we read in Scripture.
Yeah.
Christ has taught us to pray, and so we should pray prayers that are similar to the way that Christ in His Word taught us to pray.
Yeah.
You know, there's one thing. It's interesting that Timothy, when Paul writes to Timothy, he tells him to do in the gathering of the saints, and that is give attention to the reading of the Word.
Right.
And so, you know, how you do that, you know, I'm not here to tell you how to do it.
Right.
You know, you can kind of do that as your conscience allows. And I don't want us in any of our discussions this month, I don't want us to sound like we're trying to bind the consciences of other pastors and churches.
Right.
But we do want to direct their consciences.
Yeah.
Right. We do want to direct their attention at least and say how you do these things are a lot of it's based upon your convictions.
Yeah.
Based upon your context and those things.
Yeah.
But your people are going to be enriched with hearing more of the Bible than less of the Bible.
Yeah, no doubt.
And it's by the Bible that we are brought to life, the Word and Spirit.
Yeah.
We believe in those things. We believe in their sufficiency. And so let's give attention to those as much as we can in every way that we can.
Yeah.
Because it's to the betterment and the benefit of our people.
I think about 1 Corinthians 14, where it begins by, you know, out of all these gifts, to desire prophecy, to earnestly seek the prophetic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the idea there is the declaration and proclamation of God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to the end of that chapter, and when unbelievers are in your presence, if that is what is the overarching theme, if that is what's driving in that service, the declaration of the unbeliever is, surely God was in this place.
I think so.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that. They may be uncomfortable.
Right.
They may be unfamiliar.
Who shouldn't be uncomfortable?
100%. Yeah, exactly. They could be unfamiliar and all these things, but at least they are going to know, okay, these people actually, they believe this book.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They actually value this book.
Yeah.
This isn't just lip service.
Yep.
This isn't just kind of a nod to these things. No, they're actually trying to practice what this word is saying.
Yeah.
And I think that helps to draw those thick lines,
right? Yeah,
that,
absolutely.
Those thick lines that say this is who we are and this is who we're not.
Right.
And that we want to be clear, especially for the non-believer, we want to be clear that you understand this is who we are. We are people of the book.
Yeah.
And we are because, again, we think this book is where all of life and godliness comes from.
Yeah.
And that there's no outside source.
Right.
There's no outside source that is going to tell you how you can come to know the God of the universe other than this book.
Right.
And so we want to make sure that people understand, you know, when they say they believe the Bible, I mean, I was in their church. They believe that Bible.
Yeah.
They value that Bible. It doesn't just sit on their communion table.
It actually they
read from it and they sing from it.
And like you said, this is not bibliolatry. This is valuing and esteeming the Word of God.
Yes.
And the Word made flesh.
Yes.
And so I think we have to be careful with that because I think people can think that like it's a mortal sin to place a coffee cup on this piece of leather right here. Well, that's not what we're talking about.
Right, right.
But in that is contained the Word of God, and
yep.
and that's what we are absolutely advocating for. So, pastors, if you've got young people coming into your church, you're going to say priority number one is to make sure that they are hearing the Word in throughout from the welcome to the benediction.
Amen.
We're going to hear the word.
Yeah. Okay? And then when you're able to, when you get together with those guys,
yeah.
open up the word with them.
Yeah.
They want to know the word.
Yeah.
And I think if they see you as someone who opens up the word in their service, they're going to want to open up the word with you in private
yeah.
in those types of ways. And I think that's going to be even more beneficial
absolutely.
To them.
Absolutely. All right, so you got three more for us throughout the rest of this month. So I want to invite you to come back, guys, next Monday. We're going to hear characteristic number two of what you should be looking for in a church if you are one of these young men, young ladies that are headed back into the church. Until then.